Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the FT Advisor podcast. I'm Damian Fantato, Deputy Editor of FT Advisor. This week, the Bank of England has scrapped a key affordability test for borrowers wanting to take out a mortgage. Since Monday, lenders no longer have to assess whether borrowers will be able to afford a mortgage if interest rates increased by 3%. The test was introduced in 2014 as part of a package of measures to prevent repeats of the 2008 financial crisis. But the bank concluded the rule was no longer necessary and indeed that it was actively preventing too many people from getting a mortgage. It has said that the loan-to-income limit, which remains in place at 4.5, will be able to do the heavy lifting. So is this a good idea and will it mean more people will be able to get onto the housing ladder? With me to discuss this are Jeremy Duncombe, Managing Director of Accord Mortgages, and Danny Belton, Head of Lender Relationships at Legal & General Mortgage Club. Hello both.
Hello.
So we'll start by sort of assessing, you know, as an overview. Some people might see the headline of affordability tests scrapped and think, "Oh, here we go. We're going back to life before 2008." And that's surely not the case. But Danny, how significant is this? Sort of on a chain, on a scale from sort of 10 as life as it was before Monday, and 0 as life before 2007. You know, where are we going here?
I don't think we're going anywhere near what we were in 2007. I'll be very clear about that. You know, the requirements that were brought in after the last crash have really served the purpose and enabled customers to borrow sensibly and try and remove as much risk as possible without actually sort of hampering people from buying properties or raising the finance that they need. So they've clearly worked incredibly well. There has been some discussion for a long time that actually 3% stress test has been probably a little unreasonable. And certainly we had a long period of time with flat base rate, and you could argue, well, you know, that something could have happened a lot earlier. But decisions have been made now, and it does actually provide a welcome opportunity for some borrowers. This is not going to be wholesale, but there are some borrowers that will definitely benefit from this change. That can still borrow sensibly and within their means, and they've therefore given the opportunity to own the property that they've been dreaming of for some time. So I do welcome the move.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think to touch on Danny's point, we're in a very different world to where we were in 2008. Some of the fundamental issues that were in that market at that time are no longer there. So if you go back, things like self-certification doesn't exist anymore. And there's a lot less interest only than there was at the time. So all lenders do a full affordability. And I think the thing we've got to remind ourselves of is this isn't lenders or the regulators saying we don't need to do affordability anymore. This is just making sure that stress test of 3% is a reasonable figure and isn't prohibiting the market from functioning. So lenders already do a full affordability. They use ONS data, which is fixed, and all lenders use similar data. And we also still and will continue to look at future expenditure to make sure people can afford it. So those measures are already in place. What the 3% was inhibiting, especially in a rising interest rate market, and we talk about timing, with base rates going up, it may seem like a strange time to do it, but actually it's a really logical time to do it. Because if you think about base rate and SVRs going up, you could find a situation where lenders were having to stress at 8, 8.5, even 9%, which just isn't realistic in a market where no forecast I've seen is going above bank base rate being 3%. So, you know, what was happening is that customers were having to borrow for longer, pay interest for longer, or were having to reduce the amount they could borrow when theoretically they could afford the payments that were being offered. So we're certainly not throwing everything up into the air and starting again. There's a lot of really sensible measures in place. And I agree with Danny. I don't think it'll be a massive impact to the market.
Mm. So you were...
I'll just add to that, Jeremy. Sorry, if I can. The loan-to-income part is still there. And it's still capped at 4.5 times. And some lenders don't go above that at all. Others do, and they have that stretch for the right customer. So we've still got these sort of really strong measures in place to ensure that the customers are not overstretching themselves, which is, you know, got to be a positive sign.
Absolutely, and that 4.5, as the regulator has said, is the underpin to the market to make sure that we don't see a return to challenging situations that we've had before. So that is the underpin. And therefore, I think we there's a little bit more flex, but certainly we're not returning to a 2007, 2008 market. That's really important.
Mm-hmm. So you're both welcoming this. Danny, what about that, the point that Jeremy touched on, which is one of the criticisms that there has been of this move is that given the macroeconomic background, inflation, rising rates, the timing hasn't been particularly welcomed in some quarters. Do you agree with Jeremy that actually it's good timing?
I think it is, because if you've got, you know, rates have gone up exponentially over the last sort of 2 or 3 months. As you know, we know we've had issues with swap rates and things, certainly in the short term, and lenders have been repricing, you know, maybe sort of once, even twice a week. It's been a very sort of crazy time to then sort of keep the stress testing at a time that you know, rates have doubled or more. Then, you know, you're just putting it beyond more and more customers by maintaining that. And actually, yeah, the industry has recognized for some time that 3%, whilst it was a good measure, was probably a little bit over the top. It felt that the way we assess affordability, the way we're giving advice, didn't actually warrant a 3% rate. But it was put in there for a good reason. It's actually worked incredibly well. You know, the industry's in great shape. Customers are in great shape too. I think to continue that through certainly raising a rising rate environment would just make it incredibly difficult. So yeah, now is a good time. I think a lot of people, you know, like me, perhaps would have thought this could have come a couple of years ago where base rate was just incredibly flat and benign, because it wouldn't have made a great deal of difference. But the fact is, the change has been made, and it is at a time we're in where rates are going up. So therefore, it actually makes some sense that, you know, we're still addressing affordability in the right way. We've still got our LTI. We're still making sure the customers are borrowing sensibly, just reducing the stress rate a bit. Does actually help and can ensure that the borrowers can get what they need. So I think it's been good timing on reflection.
Mm-hmm. And I think just to add to that, you know, lenders are, that there hasn't been a rush, and I don't think you'll see any sort of rush for lenders to start reducing those stress testing. We're all stressing at round about 7.25%, 7.5% currently. I don't see that changing significantly, if at all. But also remember, as part of the MCOB rules, the lending rules, all lenders still have to stress at 1% above the rate that they expect mortgages to be during the term of that mortgage. So there is already a stress test in there, which isn't being removed, and we've got the 4.5x LTI cap. So, yeah, you know, I think the headlines are often very, very different to reality. This is a prudent market, and lenders are in good shape and don't want to ruin that.
Mm-hmm. Some of the research that the bank has released as part of this change shows that the rule forced 6% of borrowers a year, which doesn't sound like many, but that's 30,000 people, to take out a smaller mortgage than they could have done. Danny, to what extent has this been a problem on the ground, do you think?
I don't think it's been a huge problem at all. I really don't. You know, we've been through some difficult times, and let me just cite the back end of COVID, where, you know, we were all pushing for 95% lending to come out, and you know, Cord were leading the way at the high LTV, which was great. But the reality is that actually more customers were keen to get a 90% deal. So they were finding ways to raise extra income, family support, you know, friends, things have all helped. And I think that, you know, the fact that you know, the research suggests that borrowers may be sort of forced to borrow less, well, two things. Either they were going to stretch themselves to a place which might have been uncomfortable, the rules might have prohibited that, or they've actually found a way to actually increase the deposits that they've had or needed to get in order to be able to afford the property to get the outcome that they actually wanted. So I don't think it's been that prohibited. Now, clearly there will be some customers that would have been affected, but on the whole, no, I think it's not been a problem.
Jeremy?
I'd just add to that, Denny. Yeah, I think that people borrowing less than they would like to isn't really an issue. You know, I think in the whole scheme of things, somebody borrowing a little bit less than they would like to borrow could never really be a major problem. What is a major problem, what has really affected people, is that they have been forced into taking a longer term loan than they would like to, and they could afford, they feel they can afford. So we had a lot of changes to the market where we're seeing an increase in terms, so 35 years, even 40 year terms. Now, that is a problem because of the amount of interest that people are being charged over a much longer period of time. The whole benefit of a mortgage is the shorter it can be, the less interest you will pay. So, you know, if you are potentially, you feel and you could afford a mortgage in reality for 25 years, but because of the affordability rules and the stress testing, you're having to move to 30 or 35 years, then there is some customer issues there. So I think what taking away the stress test, it's the other end of the market that it will benefit people not necessarily having to take longer term mortgages than they have had to do recently.
Mm. So how many of these 30,000 people, let's say, do you expect to be able to borrow significantly more or borrow on a shorter term?
That's a great thing. Without knowing all the individuals, so it's very hard to work out, David. That there clearly will be a percentage that would benefit from these. I saw someone did a piece yesterday where if the property value of 200,000, you were taking a sort of 90% loan, then actually you're going to be the affordability on a monthly basis may rise by just over sort of £200 and things. Well, for some people that will actually put them in a great place, but it's difficult to say for all without actually analysing all the different circumstances that are there. But the fact is this is still a positive move, and I don't think we were ever going to expect anything that was going to help a real mass of people that maybe somebody else. If you take, Help to Buy, for argument's sake, that helped a really strong cohort of people that were looking to get onto the ladder. This is subtly different. And yes, there will be a cohort that would benefit. I don't see it being huge numbers, but there's also the flip side to actually say, well, if they couldn't afford it, we are finding ways to actually raise bigger deposits to make sure that the borrowing is still in line and we're still able to achieve the goals that we want.
Mm. Jeremy.
Yeah, so I think what we've got here is an opportunity maybe for a few people to benefit, but overall it's to allow the market to continue to function going forward and taking out some of the barriers, the false barriers, if you like, that were in there restricting the market. We've still got a lot of demand in the marketplace, and that's important to see. But again, this will help a few people who can now borrow a little bit more over a shorter period of time. But I think that the key thing that this really highlights is the importance and the value of advice. One thing that really will drive some activity here is customers coming and talking to mortgage brokers, for example, to get more advice. And that's where the broker can, or the advisor can really add value into this, to explain some of the things we've talked about today, to really get beneath the skin of what the headlines mean versus the reality. Mm-hmm. And that value of advice, the value of a broker, is really, really important and a key message, I think, for people to take away today.
Jeremy, if I could ask you, this might be impossible, but if I could ask you to try and describe the sort of borrower who you think would be most likely to benefit from this rule. I mean, would there be a first time buyer looking to who's sort of struggling to who's got a sizable deposit but can't necessarily get the loan of the size they need? What just try and describe if you can the sort of borrower that you think might be likely to benefit from this.
Somebody who is looking for a first-time property, they've got a deposit, but their deposit is finite. They have got a 5% deposit. They're really struggling to get any more than that. They're in a position where they don't have parents or grandparents to help them. The Help to Buy scheme is on its last days now. People will need to find that deposit. The good news is that lenders like ourselves are launching 95% mortgage on first-time buyers using the deposit unlock scheme, that type of thing, which is fantastic. But still, you've got the affordability element where people will be looking for that property. And I think they're the people this will help. I think it will help some first-time buyers. It will help people where their income is relatively tight to what they want to borrow. But there still will be prudent lending by the lenders, and they will help people who probably need it more than others. So I think it's a good position, and it supports the market, but it won't drive a massive amount of new demand into the market, which is not what we need.
Daniel, would you agree with that description from Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we're not going to be in a position here where all of a sudden people can borrow 50 grand more on a house. Let's be realistic about that. It is just going to help those people on the fringes, potentially, that just need that little bit of help to get over. Will that be a first-time buyer, which I completely agree with Jeremy's what said there. It also could help a second-time mover too, or someone looking to refinance. But we still come back to the fundamentals here. Advice is going to be incredibly important. Does the customer actually understand what these changes are? Are they all going to come rushing? No. But when they have these conversations, it will all be done sensible with the right with brokers involved in the process, because that's going to be the key. Therefore, hopefully more people will get the outcome that they want. But no, this is not wholesale change. It will still be, you know, fundamentally done in a safe environment, but it'll help people on the fringes to actually be able to move forward more than they have done before.
Okay. You've both mentioned that it's not going to have a huge amount of impact on demand, which I guess means that it's not going to have a huge amount of impact on things like house prices. Is it going to have a huge amount of impact on availability of mortgage loans to certain types of borrower, Danny?
That's a difficult question to answer. So it's probably two parts there, Damien. Do I think that the house prices are going to accelerate just because of this? No, I don't. You know, house prices have grown. There was a latest report come out today to say that the house price growth annually is 11%. We are expecting a cooling. I think there's other factors in the cost of living rise that people will take into account when they now start to sort of look at buying houses and things. So, we've also got to recognise we've still got a supply and demand issue in the purchase space too. So, those things are going to hold up house prices sort of reasonably well. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff anytime soon, but I'm no economist. I'm not going to tell a judge on that. In terms of product, I mean, the product availability keeps increasing, and there are more and more products. There are more and more options for customers as lenders look to, help and support as many customers as they can, look at different niches, different areas. It's a very competitive space at the moment too. But it still comes back to the fundamental. It's not going to make a wholesale change. It would just be an extra cohort of some customers that will benefit. But I don't see any wholesale changes to our market in terms of house prices or products for certainly the near midterm as we stand.
Jeremy?
I think lenders are looking at ways to support underserved borrowers across the market. And I think that's where we are looking to support. I don't think this massively impacts that, but lenders will continue to look at their range, will continue to evolve and develop. It's very simple for someone to get a 60% purchase or a 75% remortgage. There is lots and lots of choice at fantastic prices out there. So what we're certainly trying to do, and a number of lenders are trying to do, is to support that more underserved market by looking at criteria, flexibility, service, common sense approach to underwriting. This is a small part of that, but it's not part of it's not the main strategy that a lender will rely on to grow the support for underserved borrowers.
Mm-hmm. And finally, to finish off, one of the things that we've touched on without discussing it in depth is the loan to income ratio. It's still at 4.5%, but some of the recent data from the ONS says your house price is now at 8 or 9 times income. Should the loan to income ratio be something that we should be looking at as well, or should that be staying as it is to avoid a repeat of any of the nastiness from 2008, Sir Jeremy?
I think we've got a whole new podcast if you want to do that another time on that topic. But I think where it sits at the moment is the right level. The current environment, the current market, lenders and the whole market relies on us being prudent, lending to people who can afford it. And I don't think it's time at the moment to move that 4.5.
I couldn't agree more. We've got a sensible level. We're used to it. There is the flexibility to actually go to a higher LTI for some cases, and lenders choose to use that capacity or not. It's worked incredibly well, but we really don't want to get back to a position whereby we are stretching people unnecessarily just because we've sort of changed some rules. Everything has got to be affordable. We don't want to return to where we were many years ago. The mortgage market's in rude health. Customers are getting great advice. They're getting great opportunities. So let's not fiddle with something that's not really broken.
Cool. Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Danny, and thank you, Jeremy. And thank you for tuning in. And tune in again next week for the next edition of the FT Advisor podcast. Thank you.